Great. Now, I've been teaching on a series titled The Blessing of Honor. The Blessing of Honor. And believe it or not, it has been 9 weeks, 9 solid weeks on this matter. And today we're doing part 10. And yes, it's our last one. All right? It's our last part of this series. And maybe there's a book that will come out of this. I don't know. We'll see how God would lead us in the process. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. The Lord is going to speak to us. It's a very strange message I'm going to preach. It's a message that you'd want somebody else to preach, but not you as the pastor. But unfortunately, I have to do the dirty work. I have to teach. I have to just do everything, you know. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. The Bible says, "He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." Wow. He who receives you, he who receives me, no, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Verse 41. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a just one or a righteous one in the name of a just one will receive a just one's reward. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, this morning, I want to finish off by teaching you on the subject matter, honoring church leaders. Honoring church leaders. When I was preparing this week, I said, "Lord, can I not find somebody to teach this? Can I look for someone to come and preach this word?" But as your pastor, I have to do it. We spoke about honor in the home. We spoke about how we honor our parents. We spoke about how we honor our children. We spoke about how we honor our husbands and our wives. We spoke about how we honor different people in different authorities. And it is important that we talk about this matter. Honoring church leaders. Put this down. The way you act toward, the way you speak to, and the way you think about your church leader determines your level of honor towards the leader. So the way you think about this person, the way you act, the way you speak about them determines your level of honor towards the leader. And at the same time, the way you honor a leader speaks of the way you honor the one that sent him, or the way the one who sent her. So Shadi is our worship team leader. She is operating under delegated authority. And therefore, the way you receive her speaks of the way you receive me as her leader, because she did not just find herself in that position. Somebody said, "Shadi, can you please represent me?" When somebody comes to your house and they're saying, "I am coming because I am a cell leader. I've come to see you. I've come to check on you." They're not just coming on their own behest. They're coming representing the church eldership. And therefore, the way you receive them, basically it speaks of the way you receive the church eldership. It is so important that we understand these basics. Now, when you think about the one that sent, it is important for you to realize that you might not see them, but you are seeing them through the sent one. Understand that. You might not see me, but you're seeing my wife because I have sent her. You might not see God physically, but because God has sent the fivefold ministry, the Lord is being represented by the fivefold ministers, the pastors, the evangelists, the apostles, teachers, the prophets. All five of them, when they do operate in the body of Christ, they are representing Jesus. And therefore, when you place honor on them, you are placing honor on Jesus. When you don't place honor on them, you are not placing honor on Jesus. Now, there's nothing that has tripped many well-meaning believers as the issue of rightly honoring church leaders. And I want to say this right from the front, that it is an area where a lot of people have been wounded. A lot of people feel they've been abused because of how pastors and leaders and elders have treated them. And because of that, a lot of believers are carrying wounds in their hearts. But we should not shy away from biblical principles because somebody else has abused the situation. You don't throw the baby with the bathwater out. No, you don't. You take the baby out and you throw the water out. And therefore, let's be honest and truthful about scriptures regarding honor as it relates to church leaders. Now, you find that there are extremes to this aspect. On one hand, you have people who honor church leaders to the point of worshiping them. In other words, we do not make our church leaders to account because Papa has spoken. No matter how wrong Papa has gone, we do not question. You know what we say? Touch not the anointing. And we have abused that term to a point where we can no longer question even things that we can see that this is blatantly wrong. So that is the one end where people literally worship their leaders. And then on the other end, you have people who have no regard for church leadership. You have people who do not pay attention to church leaders. People who struggle with honoring church leaders will make statements like, well, don't you know that I serve God and not man? Don't you know that I'm accountable to God and not man? Don't you know that I fear God and not man? Wow. And these two polar ends have basically made us to come into a place where we cannot be accountable to anyone. And secondly, we are not able to receive the blessing that is attached with rightly honoring church leaders. Seated here this morning, can you say you truly honor the leaders that God has put over you? It is a question that every believer needs to answer honestly for themselves. And I've come to realize that many church leaders suffer at the hands of followers who display hypocritical honor. On the outside, they act in an honorable way, but in the inside, there's dishonor that is going on. And I want you to realize that honor is an issue of the heart. Put this down. Honoring your pastor or a church leader is a heart issue, and from time to time, your honor is tested. Just like in your marriage, just like with your children, your level of honor will be tested. And in the church of Jesus Christ, honor will be tested. You see, for instance, the pastor would ask the members to attend a special meeting. Only 5 people come. Only 5 people attend. Or he asks us to come and help with the project at church and no one attends. And now whenever a church behaves in that manner, that church honors its leaders outwardly, but dishonors them inwardly. Remember, to honor is to place value and weight on something. To honor is to venerate. Honor is to respect. It is to highly esteem something. Now, don't tell me you honor your pastor, but you don't take his word seriously. Again, let me qualify. I'm not saying these things because I've got a bone to pick with any one of you. If I have a bone to pick, I'll pick the phone. And I'll talk. Somebody hear me this morning. I've been around the block for too long to address issues via the pulpit. So please don't close your heart. Just remain open and hear what the Lord is saying. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. The Bible says, yield to those leading you and be submissive. Why? For they watch for your souls. Other versions say they watch over you as those who must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. For that is unprofitable for you. In other words, if we lack submission, if we don't submit, it will not benefit us in the long run. Now, God instructs followers to obey. God instructs us to yield to one another, to submit to our leaders. And the truth is, it's not a suggestion. It's a command. Where the Lord says here, I say to you, submit to those who watch over you. The question is, do you show up at church on time? Well, at work, we show up on time. Why? Because there are consequences. If you don't show up on time, a couple of times, they'll call you in. But at church, nobody can call you in. Nobody can question you why you're coming late. I saw somebody's status update. My wife read it to me. I thought it was quite smart. And the lady was saying, if you polish your shoes, if you iron your clothes now and you put your alarm on, you won't be late for church. And I said, amen to that. That person is around here. So she says, if you sort out your clothes, if you iron your clothes now and you put an alarm for the time you need to wake up, you won't be late for church. That's so true. We do that for work. We prepare for work the night before and we wake up on time. But for church, hey, I just want to sleep in a little bit. Okay? So that is the question. I asked you, do you honor your leaders? And maybe you answered yes. The question is, do you show up to church on time? Do you dislike your pastor when he talks about giving? Or when he talks about sin issues? Do you constantly ignore your leader's communication? Do you find yourself making excuses for not attending certain meetings? Now, answers to these questions will confirm whether you really honor your leaders or you don't. This is the thing. If you value God's word, you will value your leader's word as long as it is aligned with God's word. So if your leader is aligned with the word of God, what then stops us from receiving that word? You see, you need to understand this morning that it is through the church and by implication, the church leadership that your life will flourish. It is through the church. The plan of God is to use the church to minister to his people. Now put this down. Your relationship with the church and its leadership will determine your prosperity, your success, and happiness in life. Someone's like, Pastor, really? Your relationship with the church of Jesus Christ, the way you treat his bride, is so important. If you want to see a man getting angry, mistreat his bride. No matter how weak they are, that day they become very strong. Because you have touched them at their soft place. The same thing applies. The church is a bride of Jesus Christ. And the way you react and respond and relate to his bride has a lot to do with what will happen in your life. And I want to say this morning, it will determine your prosperity, your success, your happiness in life. Why? If you do not rightly relate with the church and the leaders of the church, you will not be able to receive what comes from their mouth. And the Bible says, I sent my word so that my word can heal them. I sent my word so that my word can bring health to them, can bring prosperity to them. If you do not rightly relate with the church leadership and the church of Jesus Christ, it will be difficult for you to be prosperous. Because you sit there listening to this man speaking, you are not receiving well. That is what I'm talking about. Now, knowingly or not knowingly, I've seen Christians who are more aligned, and I think it's important for us to understand this. I've seen Christians who are more aligned with para-church organizations, NGOs, well-meaning organizations, but they cannot replace church. The Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it is through the church that you find discipleship. It is through the church that you find that healing of your soul will take place. It's rare to find you going to a para-church leader for counsel, for prayer, for deliverance. Where do you go? You go to church. Regardless of how close you are linked with the para-church organization, this is now my conviction. For any para-church organization to function well, it needs to be aligned with the Church of Jesus Christ. Why am I saying that? I've been running a para-church organization called the Right Foundation. And there was a season where we used to do youth camps. And I remember we were running youth camps with schools in Tembisa. And I think we had about 4 schools coming to this camp. And these kids gave their life to Jesus at the camp in Pretoria North. And I'm standing there, I'm seeing all of these kids crying before Jesus and giving their life to Jesus. And my next question was, where do I send them? Our church was based in Centurion. And Tembisa were doing some work. And I'm asking myself, Lord, who do I trust for these kids to fall under for them to be discipled? That is why I'm saying any para-church organization needs to be aligned with the body of Jesus Christ for it to fully function. Therefore, we cannot commit ourselves to a para-church organization more than we are committed to the body of Jesus Christ. And I've seen people, they market these organizations, but for their church, no, they're not interested. It is so important. Psalms 92, verse 13. The Bible says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord Jehovah and in the courts of our God, what? Will flourish. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, those are the ones who will prosper. Those are the ones who will flourish. It is so important for you to note that it does not say those who attend. We can attend as much as we want, but we might not be planted. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you planted somewhere? If not here, be planted somewhere. Be rooted in the house of the Lord. These are those who lay down their lives to serve the Lord. These are the people who serve and obey the church leadership. In other words, the moment you are planted in a local church of Jesus Christ, you will become accountable. In other words, you allow somebody to speak into your life. And the psalmist is saying, those who are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones who will flourish. Those who are prepared to lay down their lives for the sake of the house of God are the ones who will flourish. You see, a person who is planted in the church does not take lightly the taught word. It is the leader's words that shape what the church is going through. It is the leader's words that release a blessing over the life of those people. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you planted? Are you planted in the house of God, where the church and the church leadership understands that Sbusiso is part of us? We can count on Sbusiso. Talking about being planted. These days we've come to a place where we find it easy to look at the Church of Jesus Christ as a fast food outlet. Today, I feel like McD's. You go to McD's, you get your McFlurry, whatever. Tomorrow, I feel like, I feel like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Today, I feel like Mochachos. Today, I feel like Nando's. No, it cannot be. You must find a place where you belong and say, this is where I am planted. I'm going to serve with everything that God has given me, and they can count on me. Glory be to God. Can I count on you? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. The Bible says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Think highly of them and give them your wholehearted love because of their work. Think highly of them. Think highly of them and give them your wholehearted love. Appropriate compassion, appropriate love towards your leaders. Put this down. One of the ways of honoring your church leaders is to think highly of them. You honor godly church leaders, and I'm qualifying, not just every church leader deserves to be honored. You honor godly church leaders by thinking highly of them. You are blessed if you sit under the ministry of a God-fearing leader. And sometimes we don't see it until we move, and you're like, you know what? I was actually spoiled. Because what I'm seeing here, there's no fear of God whatsoever. Because there are some people that are bigger than God himself by the way they treat the people of God, by the way they talk to the people of God. And I'm saying to you, as Paul here was admonishing the church at Thessalonica, honor them by thinking highly of them. And I must say, in my 29 plus years of being in the Lord, I've discovered that people who have a healthy view of their church leaders are the most fulfilled, peaceful, and happy of all people. Think about it. I have seen that people with a healthy view, I'm not talking about people who go into the extremes of worshiping their pastors. No, I'm talking about those with a healthy view of their church leaders who acknowledge. The Bible says, honor them for the hard work that they do amongst you of giving you spiritual guidance. Does somebody hear me this morning? You see, we mustn't hero worship our pastors. We must give honor where honor is due, but not worship. Worship is unto the Lord. Paul was prepared for the people to question what he was teaching. He said, be like the Berean church that would go and interrogate scriptures to ensure that whatever they were taught by the apostles was in line with the scriptures. I give you right to question what I'm teaching. And if you find anything amiss, come and let's talk. Let's reason together. And that is a healthy church of Jesus Christ. Now, the church at Thessalonica was being encouraged to think highly of all God-honoring leaders, to greatly value the office of the ministry, to show affection in an appropriate way. Unfortunately, I've come to realize that in our liberal churches, where there's no longer an emphasis of honoring pastors, we now have followers who think, well, I can do a better job. Okay? Where we see our pastors as someone who can be easily replaced. That is why we find it easy to move from church to church. I can replace you anytime. That's a low view that we have towards pastors. And they treat pastors just like any other guy. We see our pastors as someone filling a role that anyone else can fulfill. That is the issue. When we see the guy as, you know what, my guy? What you're doing, anybody else can do it. I can do it. She can do it. He can do it. They can do it. So there's nothing special about you. We might not say it vocally, but our actions say it. And it is important for us to go into those dimensions and talk about it. And I want you to realize this morning that anyone who holds a shallow view of their church leaders will not flourish. You cannot receive from somebody that you don't value. That is so important. It's a principle that follows implication. If I don't value you, I will not pay attention to you. When you're talking to me, I will be on my phone. Because what you're saying is not of value. If I give you an insight and wisdom around something, you go and cross-check it with somebody else. It is so important for us to understand these things. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy 5, 17. The Bible says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Wow. It's in the scriptures. Let the elders who rule well, again, there's a qualification. Let the elders who rule well
be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox that's treading, the ox treading out grain, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Wow. You see, this is the only place you can go and check your scriptures. Go fact check me. This is the only place in the scriptures you find double honor being mentioned with regards to authority. Only place. Now, it tells you how God views his servants. It means that ministers of the gospel are to receive twice the honor given to any other leader. Ooh. I'm saying things here that might ruffle people's feathers, but this is what the scripture says. It says here, those who rule well should be counted worthy of double honor. It is so important for us to understand this. How do we go about this practically? It means that our behavior and outlook towards Christian leaders should be with the greatest of respect. And allow me to say this. Unless they instruct you otherwise, address them in a formal way. If he is your pastor, address him as pastor, or sir, or missus, or ma'am. Unless they've told you, don't call me that way. You know what happens in our churches? There's a schizophrenic kind of thing. When the guy feels good, he calls you pastor. When he doesn't feel good about you, like, hey, Mike. Look, I have no problem with hearing my name. I love hearing my name. But be consistent. If you choose to call me Mike, let it be Mike when it's rainy, when it's summer, when it's windy. If you choose to call me pastor, let it be so even when it is so stormy. Do you hear me this morning? Don't bring me to this place where I'm just wondering, where is she at today? She called me Mike. Is everything okay? You know? Now, my spiritual father, Pastor Paul, we are very close. We're very close. And I remember when back then in 2010, he said to me, Michael, don't call me pastor. Call me Paul. Call me Paul. And I said, no, I can't call you Paul. Yes, you're my friend, but you're my spiritual leader. I want to put honor on you. And that is me. I cannot, for the life of me, to call him Paul. No, I can't do that. He is my spiritual leader. No matter how close we are, I speak to him so many times, but he's my pastor. Okay? We joke, we laugh, our relationship is so cordial, we're friends, but I want to leave a gap between me and him so that I can always receive from him. I want to come to a place where I get so used to him that when he declares a prophetic word over my life, I just take it lightly. So many times in the mornings before a Sunday service, Pastor Paul would send me a message. Mike, this is what I feel the Lord is saying about the church today. Last week when we were doing our Victory Sunday, I can show you the messages. Mike, this is what I feel the Lord is saying about Victory Sunday. And, you know, and I receive it. And I pray over the word. And I remind the Lord over the prophetic word that is being declared by my spiritual father. What am I doing here? The Bible says, you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. I'm teaching you principles that if you apply, you will not miss God's blessing by being familiar. So, it is so important. When leaders are teaching us, we should listen attentively instead of allowing our minds to wander, okay, being on our Facebook page. To talk to someone next to you when the word is being taught, it's dishonoring. It means that you're saying, what you're saying doesn't really mean much. Just get done with it. I mean, let's talk about it. I've seen people walking out of a service. I'm still preaching. The guy or the girl stands up and goes, unless it's an emergency. For God's sake, don't leave church before church is finished. You are sending a message. For me, I'm asking, okay, have I said something wrong? Have I said something untoward here? Unless it's an emergency, Yes, you can go. If it's not, stay put. Honor the word of God. Honor the person that is speaking to you. This person has spent the last week preparing and asking the Lord, what am I going to share with your people? And I share the word, and somebody just stands up and goes. How dare we do that? It is so important that we understand these principles. You might think that I honor the guy. He knows that I honor him. But right now, it is dishonoring. What you've just done. Or walking in here at 10 a.m., I'm standing in preaching. I'm like, I'm seeing people streaming in. Why are you coming to church at 10? Okay, look, I don't have anybody in my mind right now. I'm just teaching. It is so important that these principles, they speak things in the spirit. They speak things in the spirit. You see, you honor God's servants by looking for ways of serving them without being asked. You know, so I'm saying in our churches, we don't emphasize being served. But I know in churches where there'll be somebody standing at the door there. And they're like, no, you can't go and see the pastor. And you know what has happened? Most of the times I'm busy preparing in the morning and people budge in. And now I understand why some of my pastors back in the day, they would have somebody standing at the door and they'll tell you, no, you can't come see the pastor now. So the point is that somebody doesn't appreciate what happens behind the doors in order for somebody to come and minister here in song. I'm talking about honor. When they've given you a task, do you carry it out with excellence? You've got to seek ways of bettering what you've been given and serving with excellence. We must ask ourselves, how can we alleviate pressure around the leaders of the church? It is so important. You see, free your leaders of unnecessary admin and the dealings that they don't have to deal with. For instance, sometimes I ask myself, I know there's this person who wants to come to church, but I don't have anybody that I can call and say, can you please go and pick this person? And then I have to go and pick the person. And then I'm there huffing and puffing, trying to get the message ready. Do you know the core function of your pastor? Number one, it is to pray, and number two is to teach the word. It is not to arrange chairs. Come on now. I remember I had a youth meeting in August. End of August. I was 1 hour in the youth meeting with 13 young people. Drove from my house, went pick one person down there, pick another person. By the time I started here with the kids, I was done. I was finished. And then afterwards, dropped them. I remember packing these kids in my small car, and the car was hitting the tarmac, and I'm like, you know, I can't do another trip. Where are my people to help me with these young people? Where are the people that God has given me, the sons and the daughters in the house? Does somebody hear me this morning? Does anybody ask, Pastor, we know you're having a youth meeting. What can we do to help you? I had nobody at the sound desk, nobody home. And I must fidget with the sound desk, with the transport, with the teaching of the people, arranging the pizzas. When do I get the time to prepare for a Sunday message? You see what I'm talking about? When we honor our church leaders, we ask ourselves, how can I alleviate the pressure from this guy? I come for Ignite. I've got nobody home to help me. The question is, where are the people? Does somebody hear me this morning? So, so important. That's why I said I needed to preach this message. I needed somebody to come and preach this word, but unfortunately I have to do it. I love you guys with all my heart. Now, listen. Whenever we serve our leaders that way, they are able to pay attention to their core function. I'm able to spend more time in prayer. I'm coming to an end of a series now, and I'm saying to my wife, I'm praying and I'm trusting the Lord to hear, where are we going as a church? Lord, what am I going to be teaching on for the coming weeks? Right now, I don't know. But if I have to be worrying about transitioning kids,
It's a problem. It's a challenge. So I'm being honest with you, and it is important that we understand that as the body of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, over and above honoring your church leaders by making it easy for them to lead you, Paul was also saying something very profound. He was saying the leaders who rule well are worthy of a double honor. What is the context of this scripture? The context is verse 18 that says, "For the scriptures say, you shall not muzzle an ox that treads the grain." So we can talk about making it easy for your pastor, but Paul was saying the double honor I'm referring to is actually paying the guy well. He's saying here, do not muzzle the ox treading out grain. Let me qualify, I'm not paid by the church. So the stuff I'm teaching you is not as if I'm trying to coerce you to give more. No, I'm teaching you a principle. The Lord has well provided me and my family. But Paul was saying, it is not right for your leaders to be unpaid when they work in the house of God. I remember one bishop from Cape Town came, and we were in the car with Pastor Paul, and this bishop asked us, "Guys, are you on salary?" And me and Pastor Paul says, "No, we are not." The guy almost jumped out of his chair like, "You're cursing the church. You need to get at least, even if it's R1, because it unlocks things in the spirit." And I remember me and Pastor Paul saying, "Ish, at this point in time, we actually need to give more into the house of the Lord to build this work." And my heart is, I want to be one of the biggest givers in this church. And by the grace of God, I'll keep on doing that. But Paul is saying here, it is not right for us to keep it as it is. He said no. And studies have shown that churches that do look after their pastors tend to do well financially. The people tend to do well financially. Why? Because they've tapped into a spiritual principle. And those churches that hold back, they might be business people, lawyers, professional people, but they have issues in their lives that seems to trip them all the time. Though they are well-paid people, they look at their finances, nothing is coming home. Why? There is a principle that they haven't learned. And I want to say to you today, are you one of those people who hold back because you feel like, "No, man, how can this guy drive a better car than mine?" So we might not say it, but our behavior betrays us because we say, "Well, why should he have a house with a guest house, with a guest bedroom?" But you do have a house with a guest bedroom, right? Why should he take his kids to a private school? But you take your kids to a private school, right? You live in a gated complex. Why can't he? So we look at pastors and we say, no, he's abusing church finances. That's not the point. Paul says, you shall not muzzle the ox that trade out the grain. Can I tell you something? I work hard. I work extremely hard. I'm running a business. I've got a family. And then I do church. So when you wake up in the morning going to work, know that your pastor is also waking up going to church. To work. And when he calls you for a meeting, he's also coming from work and he's tired. So it's not as if he's saying, "Guys, I'm fresh. I'm ready for a Wednesday night meeting. All of you come." No, he's also saying, "Lord, if it is possible, may this cup pass me by. I don't want this meeting." But the guy goes because he understands the sacrifice. I don't know, maybe you've been abused by pastors, but I want you to understand, by and large, a lot of pastors are well-meaning. A lot of pastors have sacrificed their families for the sake of the gospel. A lot of pastors have laid down their lives. A lot of them were professionals. And they said, "We'll put that down for the sake of the gospel." And I want you to know today, may you have that mind when it comes to the servants of God. It's not all of us who are in it for the money. No. A lot of us are in it for the gospel. And I encourage you this morning to have that view. Now, let me finish off by saying this. When you honor your church leaders, there is an increased grace that flows through them towards you. When a servant of God feels treasured and valued, they're able to fully release the grace that is on them. They're able to release the blessing of God over your life. You know, they're not saying, pay me and I release. No, it is a spiritual principle. The Lord Jesus walked into Nazareth. The Lord Jesus said, let me go back to my hometown. And he was preaching a powerful word, and they were offended because he was one of their boys. And they said, we know you. You are Joseph's son. We know you. How can you heal us? And the Bible says, because of that, he was not able to do as many miracles. And I'm saying to us this morning, when you receive the word of God with joy, when you show that you are present, there is an anointing that kicks in. There is a grace that kicks in. And I want you to realize you become a beneficiary of what I carry. You become a beneficiary of what that person is carrying. I've been to churches where everybody is alive when there's a guest speaker, but when their own is teaching, everybody is asleep. What's going on here? He's one of us. He's one of us. We knew him before he was called a pastor. What's the difference? And the Bible says, because of that, he was not able to do as many miracles. Not because he did not have the power, but the principle could not work for them. And Jesus says, a prophet is without honor, only in his own household. When you go out there, you realize, I'm actually, I carry a powerful word. You know, because of how people receive your word. Yeah, but come back home. It sounds like I'm not making sense. You go into another environment. People are like, wow, Pastor M, this is so life-changing. This is so like out of this world. And because of that, there's a measure of grace. They become a beneficiary of what somebody carries. And then you come home like, things are not working. Things are not changing. Why? Familiarity. You become so familiar with the guy that you fail to see the treasure that they carry. Again, I've got no issues with you guys. I'm sharing. I need to be truthful to scripture, and that's why I teach these things. Amen. I want to say to you, me and my wife are not looking for honor. The Lord Jesus says, I do not desire honor from men. No. When you honor me, I receive it with this understanding. You're doing it as unto the Lord. I receive it and I understand that you're doing it because you're going to tap into a spiritual principle. And therefore, I will not allow the honor that you give us to come into our hands.